happier, that slightly bigger car that's going to make life absolutely brilliant. Maybe for me it's that new set of golf clubs that's going to mean that I can play off 16 instead of 20, and then life will be perfect. But will it, really? Will that give us proper happiness, true happiness, or will it give us some sort of transient happiness for a day or two, and then we'll only be looking for the next thing? Thanksgiving or complaining? The words express two attitudes found in God's children with regard to the dealings with them. The soul that gives thanks can find comfort in everything. The soul that complains can find comfort in nothing. There's been many people that we know about that are millionaires. They've got everything in terms of money and possessions that we could possibly think they could have. And yet, are they happy? And often when you speak to them, they're not. Before I work for the local authority at the moment. I know people here. It's quite exciting. I know people. But I work for the local authority as a trainer, and I'm also a social worker. But before that, I worked in a bank. Some people will know that, some people won't. I worked at NatWest. It wasn't my fault they collapsed. I left miles before they collapsed. I left in 1999, a long time before it all went pear-shaped. So I just started it, and then I left. But when I was there, part of my job was to see people. And at one point, for about a year, I didn't see anybody that had got less than £1 million. That's quite a good thing, isn't it? If you haven't got £1 million, I didn't want to know you. But when I went to see these people that had got over £1 million, they were honestly the most miserable people I'd ever met in my life. All they did was moan and complain about the fact that the interest rates were a little bit low. They weren't getting as much on their money as they thought they were going to get. This year, they'd only made £50,000 and they expected to make £60,000 interest. And they just complained about everything. And I've sort of found that through my life, that the people who've got more are the ones that tend to moan about what they have got. There's a small town in America, and the sign reads Yankton, that's the name of the place, South Dakota. And underneath it says, the home of 30,000 friendly people, and then in brackets it says, and of course we've got a few that aren't very friendly as well. And the truth is that even in this church, even in Failsworth, we'd have to put that sign. We'd have to put however many thousand friendly people, but some that aren't friendly. We all know different terms. There's grumbling and whining or belly aching. In the Bible, they call it murmuring, and you come across the word quite a lot. And I don't know about you, but I've heard people murmuring. You hear it at work. Sometimes you hear it at home amongst your friends or whatever, and they're just moaning a little bit and murmuring about how things are. Complaining is the outward expression of discontent from within. There was a man well known because he complained all the time, and he inherited a large sum of money, and when he got it, he complained that he thought he was going to get more. And he bought a farm, and he said to his wife, "What should I call it? It's lots and lots of acres, so I want to call it something acres, but I can't think of a title for the farm, and I want one that reflects my personality. What can I call it?" And his wife said, "Why don't you call it Belly Acres?" Because that's all that you seem to do. All you seem to do is complain. Whatever you're given, you just complain about it. Complaining's a very popular pastime. It can actually make us happy to be complaining. Complaining is common and it becomes a way of life for many people. We complain about teachers, traffic, taxes, troubles of all sorts, whether we have to go to bed at a certain time, whether we have to be in for a certain time. The word of God comes down hard on people that complain. People who are not yet at school say, I don't want to go to bed and take a nap. Children complain, my teacher gives me too much homework. Teenagers complain, you never let me do anything. Mums complain, how many times do I have to tell you to make the bed? Dads complain, I've spent all this week at work, and then I come home, and you tell me I've got to do the decorating, and I don't want to do the decorating. I want to watch Sky Sports, or I want to go out with my mates. And it can be a circle of complaints. It's been said that on the seventh day, God rested, and on the eighth day, he opened up his internet and started answering all the complaints that were starting to come in from the men and women that he'd brought about. Few sins are as ugly to God as the sin of complaining. Complaining is a prevalent sin amongst Christians and non-Christians. It's a symptom of a deep-seated spiritual problem. Numbers 11 verse 1 says, "Now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord. And when he heard them, his anger was aroused. Then fire from the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp." God doesn't want to hear us complaining. Nobody likes to hear complaining. God wants to hear us praising and thanking. At this point in the Old Testament, God had already blessed his people. He'd delivered them from slavery in Egypt. He'd protected them from their enemies. He'd supplied daily bread and water for them in the middle of a desert where there shouldn't have been any food at all. And despite all this, they still complained. They complained about the food being the same, the imaginary luxuries they'd left behind in Egypt, their leaders. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. Why does God not like complainers? There's a few reasons. The first reason is that complaining denies God's sovereignty. "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" said Pharaoh. The sovereign God of the universe showed his power. Complaining shows that we're discontented. And discontentment shows that we're not accepting that what's happening is from God. And therefore, we're denying that God is in control. God knows us, God knows what's happening, and we're denying that. Every complaint, every grumble about the weather, every grumble about the way people treat us, the trials of life, is about God. And saying, well, God has not done what I wanted God to do. And yet, who are we to put God under cross-examination? Paul in Acts 16 is stuck in a jail. Don't know if you know this bit of the Bible, but Paul's stuck in a prison. And he suspects that he's going to die in that prison because nobody's going to come and free him. So he's going to die in that prison. How would you feel if you were stuck in a prison for the rest of your life? Elizabeth and I have been watching a thing about going back to, I think it was Victorian times, and what life, the one that we watched last night, was about life in a workhouse. And part of the life in a workhouse was getting locked away in this room, and then the rest of the time, you were breaking rocks up. And all the people did on this programme was complain about how hard it was and how difficult it was. Paul didn't do that. We'll have a look in a bit at what Paul did do. We get nearsighted and we look at the irritations and frustrations in front of us and we lose our perspective. We don't look at all the good things that God has done. Just take a moment to think about your life from a positive perspective. Think about all the good things that are in your life now. All the good things that God has done for you. And how often do we actually take time to thank God for them? Do we complain? What are our comments about the weather usually like? How do you speak about your partner? Do you complain about your partner? Or do you say how wonderful they are? Be honest. Oh, Elizabeth's going to sort a child out. Oh, no. Sometimes so-called religious people, I can be the worst at this, they can complain about all sorts of things. And yet complaining is a sign of a deeper problem, a spiritual problem in somebody's life, a failure to trust God and submit to his will. Complaining is distrust against God and non-submission to his plan and purpose. Has anyone ever heard of bush eyes? I'd never heard of this ever in my life until I looked on the internet and found it. Have you ever heard of bush eyes? I'll tell you about bush eyes. There was once a missionary, and he was walking along a trail with the natives when suddenly one of the natives shot his gun next to the missionary, nearly hit him, right next to him, and he killed a massive green snake that was in the missionary's path. The missionary didn't see it at first, and he would have stepped on it. And he said to the person that had shot it, "Why didn't I see that snake in front of me? Now I've seen it. It's absolutely enormous." They walked on, and soon the native grabbed his arm and said, "Look, do you see the leopard over there hiding amongst the trees?" And the missionary had a look, could just see trees, couldn't see a leopard at all. And then it moved and he saw it. And he said, "Wait a minute, why couldn't I see it? I was walking on the same path as you, and you see a snake, and I see trees. Why didn't I see them? It could be dangerous if I don't see these things. I could be killed." And the native said, "You have to develop your bush eyes. And that means you have to see the difference between the bush and what's actually in it. And once you've done that, you see all the dangers that are there." It's an illustration, but sometimes we can be blind to God as well, and we don't see God and the work that God is doing in our lives. And for that, we have to develop God eyes. We have to develop eyes that can see God as an important part of who we are and what we are. And we'll see God where other people just see leaves and bushes. We'll see God where others see rocks and vines. We'll see God when other people are complaining about things that are happening. We'll see God even in the things that we think are bad things, the things that aren't quite the way that we would plan it. It disrupts our unity if we complain. Numbers 13 says, "Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, 'We should go up and take possession of the land, for we certainly can do it.' But the men who had gone up said, 'We can't attack those people. They're stronger than us.' And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they'd explored. They said, 'The land we explored devours those living in it. All we saw was people of great size. We saw the descendants of Anak there, and we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And we looked the same to them.'" They grumbled and they complained, and then they made up stories. And today we'd call that gossip. They made up stories and said, "We're like grasshoppers compared with them. If we go and fight them, they'll absolutely murder us because they're so much bigger and stronger than we are." Complaining doesn't change anything or make situations better. It makes us more frustrated. It spreads discontent and discord. We talk about God and we talk about how much we love him. And at the moment in this church, we're doing all sorts of studies. We're doing one called Life on the Front Line and another one called Fruitfulness on the Front Line. And that's about living a life as a Christian that God would want you to live out where you are in your workplace, in Rochdale or in Tesco or with your neighbours or wherever it is. And if we do that, and at the same time we're moaning and complaining, what are people going to think about the God that we say that we follow? If we're whinging and moaning and complaining, they're going to think, well, their God's not worth following. It's pointless because I'll just become like them and I'll whinge and moan and complain just like they do, so I won't bother with that. So hopefully, after the service, nobody largely on this side, apart from Lila who's there, largely on this side, will moan and whinge and complain. If they do, come and tell me. And I'll have a word with them. I'll make sure that they go on the Bible study, whether they like it or not. A Christian who's grumbling and complaining is harmful to the cause of Christ and the name of Christianity. Nobody likes it when people are moaning and complaining. A young person surprised her mother with a very beautiful and unexpected gift that she'd bought with her own pocket money. Did any of you do that when you were younger? Save up your pocket money and just buy your mum something special? Yeah? Why did you never buy your dad? Anyway, always mums. But yeah, you bought your mum something special. And when she'd saved it up, she got this little present and she said, "Mum, this is for you. I bought it because you work really hard and I don't think that Dad appreciates everything that you do." Is this true, ladies? Yes, it's true, isn't it? And this bit's true. You'll like this bit in a minute. So the mother attempted to be modest and said, "Well, thank you very much for buying me all that, but your dad, he works hard as well. He works really hard. So you've got to remember that it's not just me. Your dad does an awful lot for you as well." And the little girl said, "Oh, I know he does, but I bought it for you because he doesn't complain and you do it all the time." We fall apart in the midst of trials and the world says, "Where's their God?" There was a couple of people called Paul and Silas, and they were in the New Testament. They're in a book called Acts. And the people that I talked about before, they were in a jail together. And Paul thought he was going to die. I'm sure Silas thought he was going to die as well. And at that point, Paul had a choice. And I know what I would have done. I'm pretty sure I know what I would have done. If I'd have been trapped in that jail and God hadn't freed me and God had been part of me going to that jail, I think I would have whinged and moaned and complained. And if it had been me and Philip in that jail, I would have said to Philip, "This isn't fair, is it? I've done everything that I can for God. I've tried to live a good life. And look at us, Philip. You can't go on your boat. I can't play golf. We're stuck in this jail and life's just not fair. It's not fair." And I might have stamped my foot a bit like children do. It's not fair. And I'd have had a real paddy and Philip probably wouldn't have done, but I would have done. How would that have appeared to the jailer who was sat outside with his keys, giving us bread and water every day? What would he have thought of us? He'd have thought, "What a whinging pair. They say that they believe in God, and yet all he's done is whinge and moan and complain, and, oh dear, I don't want anything to do with his God, because obviously he can't believe him very much, because he's just moaning all the time." Paul didn't do that. Paul spent the whole of the day praising God for everything. And when he spoke with Silas, Silas did too. And they read the Bible, the bits of the Bible that they knew. They'd talk about them. And they'd pray for the jailer and the jailer's family. And all this time, the jailer was taking this in. Got these keys to the jail. And he was listening to Paul and Silas praise God. And he was thinking, "I moan all the time about my conditions, and yet I'm not in a jail, and yet they are, and they're praising God for everything." And it made such an effect on him that he said, "I want to believe in your God. I want to know your God the way that you do, because I want to live a life like the one that you've got." And he went home, and he told his wife about it, and he told his family about it, and the whole of his wife and the family all came to know God as well. And that was because of the way that Paul and Silas were reacting to the circumstances. Most people grumble when we don't have a reason for doing so. We grumble like the man that walked into a hardware store and he'd seen this advert on the television. And the advert said, "If you buy one of our chainsaws, you can cut 6 trees down in an hour. So it's a good chainsaw. Cost a lot of money, but a good chainsaw. And he bought it and he went away. And he came back the day after. And he was fussing and grumbling and moaning and complaining. And he went up to the person that sold it him and he said, "This chainsaw doesn't work. It's absolute rubbish. I spent the whole day with it and I only managed to cut 1 tree down. And it said I could cut 6 down in an hour." And the salesman said, "Let me look at it." And the salesman plugged it in, turned it on, tried it on some wood and said it works perfectly. And the customer said, "What's the noise? Why have you plugged it in? I didn't know you had to plug it in." And sometimes we don't plug ourselves in to God. And by doing that, we allow God to start to work through us and change us into the person that he wants us to be. There was a lady who'd complained she had no blessings for which to give thanks. So her niece gave her a missionary box. We have these at our church, little boxes that you can put coins in. And the words written on it were, "What shall I give to the Lord for everything he gives to me?" And the niece said, "Put a penny in the box every time something good happens." The woman replied, "Well, the missionaries aren't going to get much out of me because nothing good ever happens to me. So I'll try." And the box sat there all week and not a penny went in it. And after the next service, which the woman didn't attend, the niece came round and talked to her about other people that were having problems. And the woman said, "Well, I haven't got those problems. I've got food to eat every day." And she put a penny in. And then the woman talked to her about people that were living on the street and had nowhere to live, nowhere to sleep at night. And she put another penny in because she'd got a bed to lie on. And then she said, "And I met somebody today that had got no friends, nobody to talk to, and they were very sad and depressed and unhappy." And the woman thought, "Well, actually, I've got a lot of friends and family," so she put another couple of pennies in, and it wasn't long before the box was absolutely full. Each one of us are blessed in numerous ways. Christians should not be complainers. Complaining is repulsive to our Heavenly Father. And it's thanksgiving that shows people what God is all about. 2 boys were eating grapes. One of them said, "These grapes are so sweet. They're absolutely gorgeous." "I guess so," the other said, "but they're full of seeds and they get caught in my teeth and I don't like it." And they went into a garden and the first boy said, "Look at those lovely red roses. Aren't they absolutely gorgeous?" And the second one said, "Yeah, but look at the thorns. You could prick yourself on them and hurt yourself. They'd hurt, wouldn't they?" And it was a warm day, so they stopped at a store for a soft drink. And after several swallows, the first one said, "I've drunk half of it already." And the other one said, "Oh, I'm all right. My one's still half full." Which one are you? Are you the half-empty person or the half-full person? The next time you find yourself complaining, remember the 3 reasons that God has given us to not complain and to thank him. Complaining denies God's sovereignty, it disrupts our unity, and it discredits our testimony. When we tell people what we believe, if we're not showing it, then they're not going to take it on. Let's praise God in everything that we do and praise God for everything that we've got. We've got an awful lot to praise God for. This morning, we're here to praise God for the gift of Max. And in a bit, we're going to have our service where Max will be dedicated to God. But before that, we're going to sing. We're going to sing Amazing Grace. And as we sing this, the children...